back on another Friday edition of The Scoop. We are joined today by Alex Zappa for another edition of Bet on Everything. Alex, hope your Christmas and New Year were good ones. It is 2019, but plenty to talk about as we ring in the new year.
Well, and that's the thing. I think I counted, we only have 12 football games left the entire rest of the beginning of 2019. So I'm in a slight panic, but I'm getting used to it. Only one more college football game and only a couple more NFL. So I'm losing my mind slightly, but hey, the Wild are playing better lately. The Wolves are not, but we still have football, and guess what? Our team's not there either. So we can just watch as true fans and admire the sport in and of its greatness. So that's also good.
Yes, sir. Let's look at some of those playoff games for this weekend, and we'll start off with an AFC South battle between the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans, and this is, right now, Houston is a one-point favorite, and a lot of the lines in these games are pretty close, with the exception of the final game that we'll talk about, but looking at this matchup between the Colts and the Texans, which way are you leaning here?
So, when we get to playoffs, to a certain extent, I almost have to throw all sorts of stats out the window, from the sense that a lot of the times you pick great teams pick up great stats from bad teams. So an example being, Kirk Cousins truly has had a remarkable record and remarkable stats against bad teams. Against good teams, he's been pitiful. So I try not to look at season-long stats as a metric to do these games. It's really more about, game script. What's going to happen? What do I vision? This one was probably the toughest one for me to pick because I thought it was two teams that are so similar. They both lean on playmaking quarterbacks so much. Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson might just be the next two guys along with Patrick Mahomes that carry this league now that the Bradys of the world, Rivers, Breeze, Roethlisberger, all these guys are going to, Eli Manning's kind of out the door already. These are really two guys I think are going to be staples of the NFL going forward. Bottom line, these teams have actually played each other two December 9th at Houston. Indianapolis won that game 24-21, so a close game. I like Houston because I think Deshaun Watson's mobility in this game is going to be everything. I think on third downs, he's going to be more aggressive to run. He's going to do everything he can to win. And again, this is a guy, he won a couple of national championships in college, so he's not afraid of the big stage. Andrew Luck has had a remarkable season. I think he finished second in the NFL in touchdowns this year. He was top seven in passing for yards. But I think he's going to lack playmakers. I think J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney are going to have a huge impact in this game. And I think when push comes to shove, I got to go with the team from Texas. Seth, what do you think, man?
You know, this will be a fascinating matchup because, as you alluded to, these are division rivals. So they have played. They know each other well. They run into each other a couple of times, and so it always is one of those where you just expect that it's going to be a close game. But I do think that Houston is going to have the upper hand because of the fact that it's at home. So I think I am going to lean with the Texans because, also as you alluded to, Deshaun Watson is the best, and I think he has a big performance against this sneaky good Colts defense. So I would go with the Texans to win. I think they cover as well.
And I'm adding one more thing. You talked about the sneaky good Colts defense. They have probably the rookie of the year. Their middle linebacker is first in the NFL in tackles. And the guy is an absolute savage. So, yeah, for the Colts, they've actually been good defensively. And the other thing about this game, two of probably the hottest teams in the NFL. Everyone's talked about Houston, their great surge in the second half of the year. Houston has won 8 of their last 10. Indianapolis has won 9 of their last 10, so Indy doesn't even know how to lose. But again, according to my betting slip, as well as what we just said on public radio, we hope they lose this week, and we think they are. So, good for us.
Next one that we'll look at is the Seattle Seahawks at the Dallas Cowboys. This very interesting because of the way that these two teams were going heading into the playoffs. Now, Dallas ended up being able to come away with a win against the New York Giants in comeback fashion, but they were kind of scuffling a little bit going into the playoffs, where it seems like Seattle was really starting to get things figured out. But we think of Seattle as a defensive team. Dallas's defense is not too shabby themselves, so this should be a very interesting matchup between these two teams. Got to give the quarterback edge, though, to Russell Wilson as opposed to Dak Prescott. So plenty to break down in this matchup. Which way are you leaning between Seahawks and Cowboys?
Well, I'm leaning Seahawks, absolutely. But the thing you brought up is, I think, the best point of this game is that Seattle, in the last 4 weeks, again, depends on how good you think Minnesota is. They beat us. They killed us 21-17. But then they also beat Kansas City 38-31. So, kind of to your point, this is a defense that people have thought, you know, the Legion of Boom. Well, guess what? No one's even there left from the Legion of Boom. But they still have a really good defense, a very good secondary. The coaches there are just spectacular. And being in Jerry World, it does give me pause in this game a little bit. And as you talked about, Van Der Esch, the remarkable rookie out of Boise State, coupled with Sean Lee and Jalen Smith, make one of the best, most prolific linebacking corps in the complete NFL. Jalen Smith was going to be a top three pick out of Notre Dame, tore his ACL and MCL in a bowl game his junior year and fell all the way to the second round, where Jerry Jones, obviously he's going to scoop up the talented hurt guy. So respect to Dallas, but again, with Seattle, this is a team that they've run the ball more this year than any other year, going back to the days when they had Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson. He's like wine. He just gets better with age. He gets more experience. The guy, he's a handsome guy as well. He's probably maybe got the most smoking wife in the league as well. He's dating Sierra, a legitimate star. I like everything about this Seattle team. I'm going with Seattle. Only one team from Texas can win, Seth. I'm taking the Texans, and I'm not going with America's team, the wagon show, the Dallas Cowboys.
I have a term for what I believe the Dallas Cowboys to be, and I typically wait to use it until we get to this point in the year. The Cowboys are a paper tiger. I think that Seattle is going to come in, and I think it probably could be a close game. I'm not expecting it to be. I think Seattle could win this something like 24-10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really put a lot of stock into what Dallas did this year, because the rest of the NFC East was pretty mediocre. So they just happened to be the least mediocre team in their division. So I'm going with Seattle. I think they win it pretty handily.
I agree. I mean, I think with Seattle too. This is a team this year 9-5-2 against the spread. Now the Cowboys were also 9-6 against the spread, so two good spread teams this year. You know, Dallas, number 7 defense this year, very good. Seattle only the 16th when you're talking about total yards, but again, Seattle these last 6 weeks they've been playing a different brand of football. We both believe. So, Seth, we're 2-for-2 so far. We always do this.
Yeah, it's just, it's two great football minds thinking alike, and
yeah.
we're both just right on the same wavelength. Now, next game will be the Los Angeles Chargers at the Baltimore Ravens. I think this might be my favorite matchup of the weekend, because you get the Chargers coming in. They were one of the most underrated teams, I think, heading into the playoffs. They've been on an absolute surge to finish off the season. Although they did match up against the Ravens for one of their only losses of the last handful of weeks. The Ravens beat them back in week 15, 22-10. So the Ravens have the number there. The Ravens have been a revelation since Lamar Jackson took over, and I'm so glad that they opted to stick with him as opposed to going back to Joe Flacco, because of many reasons. But looking at this matchup, it should be very interesting, considering that the Chargers have the better record, but Baltimore, the division opponent. And I'm going to be very interested to see how this game plays out. Which way would you lean?
So, to your point, this is also been a game that's been tough for me to swallow a little bit. If this is on a neutral site, I mean, I really don't think this game's close. I think the Chargers blow them away. I think that offense is just so dynamic. And as you talked about, again, a better record than Baltimore, but, you know, they played in a division with Kansas City, so you wind up in the wild card weekend. With Baltimore, I mean, this defense is no joke. It's the number one defense in the NFL. As you talked about with Lamar Jackson, as well as the emergence of Gus Edwards at running back, this is a Baltimore team that's led the league in rushing the last 6 weeks. They've been averaging over 200 yards a game on the ground. Lamar Jackson, I believe, in a six-game stretch, just ran for the most rushing yards ever by a quarterback, so that's insane as well. But this is Phillip Rivers. And although he hasn't had success in the playoffs necessarily, this is finally a team, I think, where the defense can play as well as the offense. I don't think Joey Bosa played in that 10-22 game. I could be mistaken, but I know he was dealing with a couple of injuries. He's healthier now. You also have Melvin Ingram on the other side, two of really the best pass rushers in the NFL, let alone on this team. Also throw in Derwin James, who any other year would be Rookie of the Year defensively out of Florida State. He was my favorite pick in the NFL draft this past season. He's been a miracle for them. He's going to the Pro Bowl. I think this defense is going to be able to make enough plays. I think with Ingram and Bosa on the outside, on the edges, keeping contain on that running game, I think they're going to have a chance. The Chargers are plus 120 in this game on the money line. They're the dogs, which, again, is insane to me. The thing you worry about, though, is an older quarterback playing in Baltimore, if it is cold, if the conditions aren't good, that heavily tilts the field to the defensive team that can run the ball. If the conditions are good, I think it's the Chargers sleep good at night. If the conditions are bad, you know, think twice about it. See, and that's where, frankly, watch the coverage. See how the reporting is. You know, listen to what Susie Colbert or whoever's talking about the field, because if the field's in bad conditions, that definitely helps Baltimore, because the Chargers, they have so many good skill position players. They just need the circumstance to be able to use them.
We could end up with a Ravens-Seahawks Super Bowl and a 10-7 game, because both teams would pass maybe once or twice the entire game. I don't know. Something about this Baltimore team, I think what you said about the potential for weather, I think, is spot on, because this Baltimore team is very run-heavy, but it's worked for them. They have been simplifying the playbook for Lamar Jackson, and I don't, that's a weird term to use, simplifying the playbook. They just have been tweaking it to play to his strengths, which is
the play calling has certainly been different.
Yes, so yes, absolutely.
Simplifying is definitely a way to ration that, for sure.
So I would say that I think Baltimore gets the edge because they're the home team, and that's probably, it's probably who I'm going to go with, but I think, yeah, I think 100% if the conditions are a little more favorable, that it could very likely be a Chargers win. I would say that Phillip Rivers, having been in playoff games before, will help, especially on the road. I mean, he's had to match up against New England's however many times. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I would say his playoff experience will help. But, yeah, this entirely depends on the weather. I would probably lean towards Baltimore, though, at this point. But that certainly, like the weather, could be changing by the time the weekend hits.
Yeah, no, hey, respect to Baltimore again. And kudos to Harbaugh to actually play the rookie quarterback over the guy who you're paying like $25 million to. So that's some good coaching. We'll see if it pays off.
Final game of the weekend, the Eagles at the Chicago Bears. And I had to pause a little bit before I mentioned that matchup, because probably should have been the Vikings. But then again, I don't know if they would have been able to. It just was a weird year for the Vikings. I don't know if they would have been able to win a playoff game this year. So probably just as well that it's Philadelphia that's going to come in and get rolled by Chicago. I mean, I've seen a lot of people suggesting that the Eagles, because they won the Super Bowl last year, are just going to come in and roll the Bears because they have a lack of playoff experience. But I don't know. This Bears team is really good. Their defense is really good. And Nick Foles, the other shoe is going to drop at some point, and then we're going to be sitting and wondering, instead of if he should have a statue put up outside of the stadium in Philadelphia, of where he's going to play next after his latest dud. So I don't know. I'll have to think about which way I'm going in this one. Which way would you throw the chips in this matchup?
So that's the thing I just can't get over is what if Nick Foles wins this game? What if he does get to the NFC Championship game, let alone the Super Bowl? How do you bench this guy? But then at the same time, how do you tell Carson Wentz, a former number two overall pick, like, hey, buddy, you almost won the MVP 2 years ago, but, you know, we kind of have this guy. And the thing that we have to remember about Nick Foles, and I haven't heard this take, so I want to bring this up. If you remember, he came in for, I believe, an injured Michael Vick for the Eagles about 5 or 6 years ago, and he threw, I believe it was 22 touchdowns and only one interception. I'm going to Google this as I talk, but it was some insane spread of touchdowns to interceptions, and people thought, oh my goodness, this kid, Nick Foles, is going to be amazing. Like, this guy's going to be it. And then, of course, he gets paid by a bad team. He goes to St. Louis. He's horrible. The line's horrible. Case Keenum is the next guy up there as well. He's horrible. Can't do a dang thing. And so then Nick Foles finds himself back on another good team where, again, okay, so it was in 2013 with the Eagles. 27 touchdowns, only two interceptions. So and that was in 13 games, only 10 games started back in 2013. So, again, this guy's done elite quarterbacking way back in his past. Obviously, we saw it as Vikings fans last year when he did some of the most amazing things. It was one of the best quarterbacking games I've ever seen. His deep balls to Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey were just to perfection. I mean, there was no defense against Nick Foles last year in the playoffs. This is a guy who I really love and respect. But with all of that being said, man, the Bears.
Yeah.
Number three defense in the NFL. And a dominant team, an absolute wagon of a team. They owned us this year, and we have to own up to that fact. And the number one team against the run, so they're going to make the Bears, they're going to make the Eagles throw it. They get Eddie Jackson back, and that's a huge up for them because that dude has just been making plays all year long. He's top five in the NFL in interceptions. Also, the Bears this year, 12-4 against the spread, one of the top three teams against the spread. And as home favorites, they're 7-1 this year. So all of the stats push you towards the Bears. In Chicago, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, this would be such a big win for the Eagles. And I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't, because I lost money on the Eagles every single round last year. I did not believe in Nick Foles, and he made me pay for it. And he cost me a lot of money. So if I bet against him and he wins, I'm an idiot because I didn't learn from my mistake. But if I do bet the Eagles and then they lose, well, you know what? I should have just believed in myself from the beginning. So I'm really screwed. I'm going with the Bears because they have all the numbers to back up a win. But again, with the Eagles and Foles, like I talked about, throw all the stats out. It's one game. You don't know what's going to happen. And man, Nick Foles, he can win you a game. He showed us last year.
Yeah, this one is weird because I'm not a huge fan of the Eagles because of what they did to us in the playoffs last year. But
yes.
I don't want to say that too loudly because I'll probably get chirped at again, even though this was last year. The edge that I give is Khalil Mack, the devourer of worlds. And I don't know, the Eagles are going to have their hands full trying to keep him in tow, and I would probably have to go with the Bears just as the home team. But I don't know. This is gonna be a real test for this Chicago team, just to kind of see where they are at. So I probably would go with the Bears. But again, it depends on which Chicago team shows up. If they struggle early and they allow the Eagles to stay in it, then we're going to have a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little NBA here today as well. You, a connoisseur of all sorts of sports, So a couple of games on the schedule, including Clippers Suns, Bucks Hawks. Which way are you going in those before we talk about tonight's main course, the Magic at the Timberwolves?
So, again, this is just a classic Vegas zone game with the Clippers at Suns. Clippers, again, very good team. Have been on a little bit of a dip lately, but at one point were like the number one seed in the Western Conference. So Clippers are very good. Obviously, if you're aware, the Suns are very bad. They are the last team in the Western Conference. And here's the thing with the Clippers. This is a team, they don't have stars. Tobias Harris, incredibly good player for them. He's been their star, but I don't think most NBA people are like, oh, Tobias Harris, star. You barely even knew about him, okay? Lou Williams, another great player on that team. They got a couple of good rookies as well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's been so good for them, a rookie out of Kentucky. And with the Suns, you have Devin Booker, who's a fun player to watch. Amazing shooter, probably a top five shooter in the NBA. Kid out of Kentucky, the same class as Karl Anthony Towns. DeAndre Ayton also, the former number one overall pick, too. So that's a Suns team that has a lot of talent. They don't know how to win games. I think the Clippers are the opposite. They don't have a lot of talent, but they have a lot of guys that know how to play together. Another guy, Avery Bradley, a two-guard I really like from Boston. Clippers are going to roll. And then there's the next game you talked about. Bucks versus Hawks. The Suns, the worst team in the West. The Hawks, the worst team in the East. So for the Milwaukee, they've been absolutely steamrolling everybody. They're the number one team in the NBA with one percentage. They're 13-point favorites. I don't even care. They're going to win this game by 25. Giannis has been so good. Brook Lopez, a former max contract guy with the Brooklyn Nets, he has had an amazing year in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform. He has been a revelation for that team, coupled with Eric Bledsoe. Dante DiVincenzo has been a rookie for them that's played a lot of good minutes for them this year. They got this new kid, DJ Wilson, who's playing at the four position for them. That's a great energy guy, gets a lot of rebounds. And did I mention Giannis Antetokounmpo? The kid's an absolute savage. He's one of the best young players in the NBA, if not the best young player. So bet on the Bucks, bet on the Clippers, bet on some favorites. But unfortunately, that's not the case for our nightcap, Seth.
Yeah, the final game that we'll talk about, of course, is the Timberwolves taking on the Orlando Magic, and the Magic. Well, they're not particularly great. As they're 17-20, but then again, neither are the Timberwolves. They've been just kind of floundering here recently. A lot of injuries, including Robert Covington having not played for the last couple of games. Jeff Teague's been out for a while. Derrick Rose has been in and out, which has led to some opportunities for some of the younger players, including Josh Okogie, which we are all in favor of. But just looking at this team, I mean, 17-21, they play much better at home than they do on the road. The stretch for this matchup, I just had it and now it's gone again. It'll pop up here in just a second. I would guess
Wait,
that the
I think it was a 5-point spread. I think the Wolves were 5-point favorites, if I remember it.
That is correct. The Timberwolves 5-point favorites. The Magic are plus 170 on the money line. So, considering all of the things, looks like Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose will be out. Robert Covington still day to day. Which way would you go for this matchup between Magic and Timberwolves?
So, before I convince you to not bet on the Timberwolves, I just want to point out that Karl Anthony Towns has been on an absolute tear lately.
Yeah.
He's averaging, I got it right in front of me, I'm reading this preview, 28.2 points per game, 17.2 rebounds, 5.8 assists, and 3 blocks over his last 5 games. And guess what? He's 23 years old, okay? So he's been amazing. Andrew Wiggins just put up 30 against the Boston Celtics, which is a game we lost. And I should also note that Boston covered the 6-point favorite spread. So we made some money there. So we've been betting against the Wolves lately. And we're doing it again because, as you talked about, Teague is, I don't want to say the most underrated player on this team, but his presence gives them a competitive edge and a calmness that you just need. And Tyus does it a little bit too. I love how aggressive Tyus has been lately. He's been taking his shot more often. He's been looking for a shot. And the most important thing, he's been making it more often. So that's the other big thing. And I think that does just come with playing more minutes, getting more experience in these games, kind of having that confidence that shot. Tibbs isn't going to put me on the bench for Teague or for D Rose. Like, I have to stay out here. There's no one else here. So that's been a big step for him. But Teague, going back to his Atlanta Hawk days, is a guy that he had that team winning 60 games a year under Coach Budenholzer, who's now with the Milwaukee Bucks, a big reason why they've been so good. So that's a big loss. Derrick Rose doesn't give us that automatic scoring. He's out. That's not good. Covington doesn't give us his defense. That's not good. And Nikola Vucevic, this big white dude for the Orlando Magic, he is unbelievable, and he has absolutely owned the Towns over their meetings over the last couple of years. So I think Vucevic is going to minimize Towns' impact. And then coupled with some other talented guys on this team, Eric Gordon, DJ Augustine's a really good player for this team as well. Jonathan Isaac's a rookie they're hoping can do something, and obviously Mo Bamba as well. It's a Magic team I really like. I like them plus 170 here in Minnesota today because, frankly, we haven't been good at home, really, and we haven't been good on the road either. So, you know, I think Magic, this is a tough team and just a game we lose, and I think we do again today.
Ew. Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that. It's just, it doesn't feel like their year. And so we just will, I guess, wait till next year. And that's about all I'm going to say about it. Moving on, I suppose we should probably talk about the national championship game, which again is Clemson and Alabama, and both teams 14-0. The spread is Alabama minus 5. Clemson is plus 170 on the money line. Over under 59.5. So some juicy numbers for both of these teams. Clemson, the last team to defeat Alabama in the national title game. Can they do it again, though?
No. No, they can't. which really is a shame because I do like this team. And going back to last week, so we liked both dogs against the spread. So obviously Notre Dame, you know, that was a mistake. That's on us. But Oklahoma did cover. And then I also told you, and I texted you this when it happened, the best bet, I'm like, put your mortgage on the over in the Oklahoma-Alabama game.
Oh, yes.
So I hope we all did that. So we were good last week on college football bets. And we made positive on NFL bets, too. No big deal. here's the deal. Is Tua is too good. I mean, the guy's just clutch. You saw it last year in the overtime game against Georgia when he got sacked for 20 yards to put them out of field goal position. Then he comes back and throws a 40-yard touchdown to walk off Georgia. I mean, it was absolutely insane. The kid showed you in the last game on third down, the kid was absolutely money. Trevor Lawrence showed you something against Notre Dame. I mean, that Notre Dame team is a heck of a team. They made it to the playoff. But Clemson showed you that with their dogs, they're good. And without Dexter Lawrence as well, they're going to be without two other starters, Clemson will be, for this game against Alabama. But long story short, I like the over. I like Alabama. I just think they're across the board. And Nick Saban, and I just don't think you're going to outcoach the segment. On the national championship game, bet Alabama. But I will say, I do think the money line of plus 170 on Clemson, that is juicy as well. I would almost hinge my spread bet on Alabama with a money line on Clemson. I might just hedge my bets because then I can just watch the game and have some fun.
How about the national title game ends in reverse Alabama-Auburn fashion, where Clemson tries a long field goal and Alabama ends up running it back for a touchdown?
That would be epic. That was something.
Yeah, that would be incredible. But I would tend to agree that I think this is Alabama's year. Clemson's going to give them a fight, but Alabama is just supremely talented everywhere. And I think they stamp it with, I'm going to say, a 31-24 win. I think that's that'll be the final score.
Ooh, that's a juicy one, Seth. I like that. I'm gonna copy you on that. I think that's going to be the score, too.
Doesn't quite hit that over, but that's fine, because 31-24 is still a very entertaining game. So
okay, actually, I disagree with you. I think so maybe give me like a 42-39.
66-60 in triple overtime.
That would be epic.
That
and
is,
I would watch every single second.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. 66-60 in triple overtime. So, Alex, as always, a great pleasure to talk all things sports here on the show again today. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the national championship game. Enjoy playoff NFL football. And we'll break it all down and more with you next Friday.
Amen, brother. Peace. Have a good one.